things first, I'm Jenna Wolf. That is Nick Reich. Look who's here. Former All-Pro wide receiver Brandon Marshall joining us this morning. It is good to see you.
It's been a long time since you and I were on television together, man.
Houston Super Bowl.
Man, almost 3 years ago. Good to see you again, man.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely. Love the show.
It's been even longer for us.
That's right.
Never. So this is going to be quite a show. Well, we got three great hours of sports programming, a lot to get to. We're going to jump right in and start with the matchup of the week. Hands down, Cowboys up in New England to face the Patriots this weekend, where the Pats have won 17 straight regular season games. Cowboys coming off a win where Dak Prescott played great. Patriots coming off a win where Tom Brady did not, and admitted this week his whole offense needs to step it up. Nick, I'll start with you. Dak versus Brady. Which quarterback do you trust more come Sunday afternoon?
On Sunday, this is a very, very simple question and a very simple answer. It has to be the quarterback that's played like an MVP candidate. Has to be the quarterback who's been the engine that's driven his offense and his team all year. And it can't be the quarterback that right now is battling amongst some who's who in his own division for who's been the best quarterback in the AFC East this year. The answer has to be Dak Prescott.
Oh.
And it has nothing to do with the generational greatness of Tom Brady. It has nothing to do with who's the greatest quarterback of all time or count the rings or the Super Bowl appearances or any of that. It has to do with, in the middle of November of 2019, who's better. And right now, I don't know what the argument would be that Tom Brady has been better up to this point, or that we would expect Tom Brady to be better on Sunday. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Tom Brady's team won't win. In fact, I think Tom Brady's team actually will win. But the quarterback who you trust more this season, this week, Brandon, to me, has clearly been Dak Prescott.
Wow, this is an amazing game. Now we're going into like championship football. You look at some of the matchups. Over the last couple of weeks, you've had Seattle, you've had San Fran, mm-hmm. you've had Baltimore, you've had New England, and now we have the Cowboys versus New England Patriots. So when you ask that question, the first thing that comes to mind is really not about the quarterback at all. It's about the supporting cast. It's about the guys around them. It's about, let's look at run offense. You have the Cowboys sitting at seventh, averaging 4.6 yards per rush. Talking a little bit of X's and O, a little bit of football here, okay, to wake up everyone in America. But then you look at the New England Patriots defense. Since week four, they have been gashed. There's one team that's given up more yards per rush, and that's the freaking Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, so that's what it comes down to me. I love what the Cowboys have. I don't like where New England's at right now. And I think that because of Ezekiel Elliott in his running game, Dak Prescott is going to be the guy that's going to lead the way. Everyone's picking New England right now. Everyone. Not so easy, not so fast. Okay, the Cowboys will win this game.
Why don't you want it to come down to Dak or Tom Brady? Why don't you think it'll be a battle of quarterbacks?
Because it's never just about one guy. We always look at the quarterback position. We're like, man, I mean, it's the franchise quarterback. Everything's about this guy. And that's not football anymore. It's about situational football. It's about the guys around them. The coaches, they're playing an even a bigger role. It's not just, let's plug in these guys in our system. This is our system, the way we've been running it for 5, 10, 15 years. Now it's about how do we take the talent that we have and build our scheme around them. So the Cowboys do that, okay? When you look at how the Cowboys play football and how they're doing it right now, they have what it takes to go into New England and beat them. They have what it takes to go on a run. Now, do I love them? Yes, but do I love their schedule? No. But they have what it takes to challenge a Tom Brady and a New England Patriots.
Nick, this is interesting. You say that even though you think right now Dak Prescott is playing better than Tom Brady, you think the Patriots are going to win on Sunday. Yeah. Last week, the Patriots played the Eagles. You happen to think the Cowboys are better than the Eagles right now. Dak is better than Wentz, but you thought that the Eagles would win that game.
Well, I don't think the Cowboys are better than the Eagles right now. I do think Dak's playing better than Wentz. I don't think the Cowboys are a better team than the Eagles. I know they have a better record than the Eagles. In this game specifically, Jenna, I agree with Brandon to this in this regard. If the Cowboys are going to win, it can't be about Dak. It has to be about the running game. To your specific question, what quarterback has the ability, shown the ability this season to have a bigger game, have a better game? It is Dak in general, even against a dominant Patriots secondary that almost nobody has had a great game against. And Tom Brady, we haven't seen since the first few weeks of the season, Tom Brady have any type of punch, add any type of punch to this Patriots offense. One of the reasons that I think that I disagree with Brandon, that I picked the Patriots to lose the last 2 weeks, so against Baltimore and then against Philly.
This is the perfect week for you to do that. This is the week to do
here's
that.
Here's the reason that I can't do that is, despite how great Dak has been, despite the fact that I agree with you, the Patriots have their biggest leak on their defense is their run defense that has not been good as of late. In this game, and this is a big difference between the Cowboys and the Eagles, the coaching mismatch between what Belichick will have prepared and whatever the hell Jason Garrett's going to have prepared, to me, is too big of a discrepancy. And the Patriots will come into this game with such a schematic advantage that, to me, in and of itself can tilt the balance.
You know what? Skip Bayless said something very interesting recently, right? He said, is Bill Belichick showing his age? Because he's always been able to figure it out. Since week 4, why haven't we been able to figure out this run defense? Championship football, you run the ball, you stop the run, okay? You have a quarterback that makes great decisions in situational football. Why haven't the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick figured this out? To me, you have no chance of winning a game when you have an offense that can really pound it down your throat. That's not X's and O's. To me, that's not whose scheme is better. Let's game plan this. It's mano y mano. We're going to run this ball, Zach Prescott, down the 1 gap, 2 gap, 3 gap, and you have to deal with it. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. So to me, this is an interesting matchup. I know everyone's high on the Patriots. It's the Patriots, the New England Patriots, but this is going to be a really, really good game.
And to be clear, I'm actually not that high on the Patriots. I think the Patriots can be had, but I also think an opportunity to have in Baltimore is a really, really good team, so set them aside. Going to Philadelphia is a different story than playing the Cowboys in New England.
At home.
A Cowboys team that has not shown a consistent ability this year.
That's true.
Forget to beat the best teams in football, but to come out and be competitive is an unfair word, but to have an explosive offensive attack into the best teams in football, yep. Where we saw them only score 10 points against New Orleans, fall down 31-3 to Green Bay, lose to Minnesota in a game they obviously could have had they gotten, I feel, leaned on Dak more than Zeke early. So I do think this is, the Cowboys can announce themselves to the league. Yep. They are more than just contenders for the NFC East. They are, referencing Skip, what Skip feels they are Super Bowl contenders.
Of course he does.
I don't feel that's who this team actually is, and I'm just not going to bet on Jason Garrett to have his team ready to go into Foxborough and beat even a mediocre Pats offense and beat this year's New England Patriots.
Well, look, after two sort of mediocre games from Ezekiel Elliott, right now that Patriots defense you're talking about, 10th against the run, 2nd in passing, so you would imagine that they are going to try to break out that game plan for Zeke to have a bigger game this week.
Did you know that as many as 7 out of 10 adults wished they played a musical instrument? Unfortunately, many never do because they think it's either too late for them to start or too expensive. Musician is an online music education platform rethinking the way people learn music. It's the fun, easy, and affordable way to learn guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, or even learn to sing. Just download the app to your desktop, tablet, or phone and start playing. Musician is perfect whether you're just starting out or have been playing for years. Enjoy thousands of popular songs, expertly crafted lessons and exercises across dozens of genres. Compared to private lessons, Musician is more affordable, lets you learn on your own schedule. You'll get bite-sized lessons, easy-to-follow instructions, and exercises tailored to your goals. Using Musician to learn an instrument like guitar or piano is much better than trying to teach yourself. So, If you've been wanting to learn an instrument or simply want some help getting back to playing, check out Musician. You can get an extended 14-day free trial of their premium package at musician.com/play. That's unlimited lessons and unlimited songs on as many instruments as you want for 2 whole weeks. Just go to musician.com/play to start your free trial today. That's YOUSICIAN.com/play.
Portland Trailblazers in action last night, taking on the Pelicans. First game for Melo since November 8th of last year. He got the start. He brushed off some rust with 10 points, 4 of 14 from the fields. Head coach Terry Stotts called his night pretty good. Blazers came up short losing the game, but Melo's first night is now behind him.
I think the greatest feeling of it all was to feel wanted, by a group of guys who believe in me and my talent and what I can bring to the game. And it wasn't just the players, it was the coaching staff. They really showed a strong level of belief in what I can still do.
Nick, does the Melo Project work in Portland?
I hope so, and I don't think last night's an indicator of really anything of what we're going to see for a number of reasons. One is, it's Melo's first NBA game in over 365 days, so he was not going to be the best version of himself. Second of all, and maybe most importantly, Portland's without their best player. And Portland without Damian Lillard, right now they were struggling with Damian Lillard. They are as reliant on him as any individual team is on one player in the league, aside from maybe Giannis and the Bucks. If he's not out there, everything changes for them. For Melo, though, the most difficult adjustment is going to be how willing he is to accept a tertiary role on this team, not even a secondary role, but a third or fourth role on this basketball team. And I know some people are going to say, well, look at what Dwight Howard has done with the Lakers. Dwight Howard was humble. Dwight Howard bounced around a bit. He then went to the Lakers and accepted his role and is thriving in his role. It's going to be tougher for Melo because of this. Dwight Howard at his core, at his best, was a rebounder and a defensive player.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what his role is with the Lakers, a rebounder and defensive player just in small bursts. Melo at his best, and really his only, throughout his career, A-plus skill, was a go-to scorer. He is not going to be the go-to guy for the Blazers, except for in small segments of minutes, if he comes off the bench, if he is with that bench unit. So can Melo be a positive addition within the flow of an offense when he's not your go-to scorer, when we know he's going to struggle somewhat defensively? Those are the questions. With all that said, I'm thrilled he's back in the league. He deserved to be in the league. The idea that he wasn't good enough to be on a roster was insane, but he obviously has to be better than he was last night, and maybe a little more judicious with his shot selection than he was last night. I think he will be. Last night was about knocking the rust off to a degree, but the question is, what role will he have and how okay with it will he be?
Yes. Wow. There's so much here. I absolutely love Melo in this situation, and it will work. And the reason why it will work is
because... You love the theory of Melo being in this situation.
Not the theory,
him actually on the Trailblazers.
100%. First of all, right, he's coming into a situation where it's a really good team, but they're 5-10. Okay? They're 5-10. So all this talk about Melo hurting the team and now the team is losing, that's gone. That's over with. One of the things that never leaves you, you can play any sport in the world, okay? But one thing when it comes to basketball never leaves you is being able to score the basket. You can see grown men and grown women at 60 years old playing pickup basketball in the park or in gyms, the YMCA, and guess what? They still have that shot. You can't teach that. You look at last night, Carmelo Anthony, the shots that he missed, posting up, spinning to the basket, trying to finish. That's rust. But that type of play, you can't teach. What I'm looking at is, how does he bend? Does he have the mobility? Is he still quick? Can he move? He absolutely can still move. So when you put Carmelo Anthony in this situation, he makes this team better. Some will say, oh, Melo, look at him last night. He was 4-for-14. This is rusty. He's rusty. This will never work. But do you understand what happens with a professional athlete when you get that call? And now you have to make life decisions that take 3 months, 6 months, and 2 hours. The type of conversations he's having with his wife. Are you guys staying in New York? Where does the kids go? I have to pack a bag. How much clothes to pack? So now you have this guy in 48 hours getting this call, then getting on a plane and traveling there and all this emotional stuff going on and people looking at 4 for 14. What do you expect? What do you expect? You can put any guy in that situation, whether it's a football player getting a call saying, hey, you get a workout. The anxiety, the decisions that you have to make and those moments and those hours definitely affects you on the court. So Carmelo Anthony to me showed last night, one, I looked at him being able to move. Can he still move? 17th year in the NBA, he can still move. Now it's all about him knocking down a shot. Last thing is this, as an athlete and you're going into a new situation, new locker room, a lot of times it don't work because of chemistry, right? So what he said was, this is a team that wanted me, not only from coaches, players, but everyone in the organization wanted me. When you don't have that pressure and that anxiety and you can just fit right in, man, it's over.
Well, I'll add one other thing real quick, Jenna, is that where I think the Blazers did not do Melo any favors because of exactly what you're discussing about, and you talked about this a lot before the show, about how difficult the last 72 hours were just from a logistical standpoint, just from going from one coast to the other, that's getting right. ready, and then all of a sudden you're playing. I don't think they should have started him. And I understand his best moments were his opening moments of the game, but I think even if they were to tell Melo, at some point our plan is for you to be a starter, similar to what the Lakers did with Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma was injured. He wasn't just acquired, but yeah. he was injured. By the time he was ready to play, it's like, Kuz, you're going to come off the bench. We're going to try to run some plays for you through our second unit. Your minutes are going to be limited. That way, there's less of a pressure on him instantly.
But no, this was the perfect situation. Dame isn't playing. Right.
Well, and I think now, that's one of the reasons.
Even when you look at 4 for 14 in his shot selection, you let him do that. This is his space where Melo can go in. There's no pressure. Go have at it. Go shoot. Go knock the rust off.
But what was the problem with Melo? What was the issue that Melo had? His biggest issue that we all heard about in Houston. It was he didn't want to come off the bench. He had issues with that. There's as much a mental aspect to this as there is a physical one. I'm sure the shot's eventually going to be there. But he also has to mentally wrap his head around what his new role is. And these aren't just words you throw out there. He already had issues with this in another location. Yes. How does he all of a sudden have no issues now and he's fine? I think to your point as well, I would agree, and I was going to say that. Starting him now, eventually, you're going to have to go backwards and take him out of that starting lineup. Perhaps, whatever Terry Stotts decides to do, you wonder how he handles that.
One of the things, if you read... or if you watch his press conference after the game, one of the things he talked about was transparency. You have to be transparent with players. Players don't BS players, don't beat around the bush, shoot players straight.
You think they told him?
In Houston, that was a situation clearly where they wasn't shooting him straight. They wasn't transparent. He said the first thing that we talked about was transparency. What is my role? I'm willing to accept whatever you give me if you tell me right now. As an aging player, you know, especially what he's been through. Another thing that he talked about was, I miss the team bus, the team locker room, the team lunch, being around the guys. See, we'll talk about Antonio Brown later. But see, that's when you go through these type of experiences, you really, really quickly you start putting things in perspective, what really matters. For him, he understands that this is my role. I have to accept it. And if I want to be on this team, I have to do X, Y, and Z. That was already laid out from the
beginning. But how hard is it? Because you obviously, you were a star in Chicago, you're a star in Denver, you had arguably the single best year of your career with the Jets, and then later in your career, you're a role player.
That's right.
And then your last year was Seattle. They bring you in, you're there
That's
a
perfect
with a very
example.
Specific role. How hard is it to go from a guy who not that long ago was 1,500 yards to I have a very specific role, and how difficult is that going to be for Melo?
It's hard, but you have to, what's your why? What are you trying to accomplish? For me, I was to try 1,000 receptions and win a Super Bowl. That was my goal. I was going to be able to accomplish that there. Transparency. The Seattle Seahawks brought me in and said, you are going to help us in the red zone and on third down. We're going to move you inside to play the Larry Fitzgerald role, right? That's what happened. As soon as I get in camp, guess who goes down? Doug Baldwin. So now I'm thrown into that starting position. I actually go out to the first game, score 2 touchdowns. Everything's looking great. Right. And now they're like, oh, we can do more. We can do more. We play against the Dallas Cowboys. We just talked about it. Just dove into X's and O's. Yeah. First thing on the show. Right. Talking about the Dallas Cowboys. We go against the Dallas Cowboys. And I had a rough game. A first half. Coach Carroll's freaking out. Now we're sitting at 2-2. And he's like, now you got to go to the bench. And that was hard for me because they threw me into a position where now I'm the starting guy and I'm the...
You were going to be a red zone threat to a starter and now you're a bench player and there wasn't consistency in what the role was going to be.
And not even playing. Now right. I'm not touching the field.
Right.
That was the problem. Was now what happened to that role you had for me being inside and also being that red zone guy. Totally fine with that. I wasn't even playing.
Right. And so for Melo, the one thing is he's not going to not play. I don't know if he's going to start. I don't know if he's going to come off the bench. But if he's to a point to where he's not playing, what happened in Houston will happen in Portland. They will just cut him. Like, so this will either work out or Melo will have the end in Portland that he had in Houston, which was the knock on the hotel room door, and it's over here.
Which might be the very, very end for Carmelo.
Oh, if it doesn't work out in Portland, it is over.
It's going to work.
I believe in him, though.
All right, moving on to Cam Newton now. So the Panthers quarterback was placed on IR 2 weeks ago with a foot injury. The move sparked rumors that Cam would be moved after this season, given the play of backup quarterback Kyle Allen. But Allen struggled the last 2 weeks, and this week, Panthers owner David Tepper said the team has not made a decision on Cam's future, and they are open to bringing him back. Nick, what does the future hold for Cam Newton?
Well, I think they're going to move on from him, and I think it's going to be the biggest mistake the Carolina Panthers franchise has ever made.
He's
the
best. You still think they're moving on from him?
I do. And Brandon can talk to this. They might have muddied the waters on this too much. They might have spoiled the well by not having. We had Greg Olsen, one of the best players in franchise history, sitting right here with us. And even when Kyle Allen was playing well, we asked him about Cam. And Greg said the right thing. We love Kyle. Kyle's playing great. But he ain't Cam Newton. And we know what a healthy Cam Newton can bring. The rest of the organization was not spinning that message forward. The message was not, Cam, this is an injury. And the moment he is healthy, he's our best option, because I think they foolishly thought, well, maybe we have this kid who went to 2 colleges and went undrafted and was cut by 2 teams. Maybe he actually, no, he is exactly what he is, which is, by the way, overachieved given the fact that he went undrafted. A competent backup quarterback. But now we have half a season of a sample size, and he's 26th or worse in every major passing category. So what does the future hold for Cam Newton? Probably a better opportunity. Probably a team that appreciates what he is, but the Panthers will regret it. Because as I said a month ago when people are starting to come around on, if the Panthers move on from Cam Newton, I guarantee you they are in the market for a quarterback, not this coming offseason, but next offseason after seeing a year's worth of Kyle Allen.
Whoa. Okay. Very good. Dave Tapper, new owner.
Yeah.
Let's give him a lesson. I'm going to give you a lesson right now, Mr. Tapper, okay? All right. I know some of this stuff is new to you. When you have an icon, you have a franchise quarterback, one of the things you don't do, you don't say, we haven't made a decision yet. You don't do that. Because guess what happens? Guess who is making a decision right now? Cam Newton. So right now they're huddled up, and they've been huddled up saying, where are we going? We can't work this out. You mean to tell me I am the franchise quarterback? I'm probably one of the top 10 quarterbacks or top 10 players that have been in this franchise.
Maybe the best player in franchise history.
No, he's not the best.
Regardless. Yep. That's not an argument. Yeah,
yes, but he's up there, right? How do you not know if you want me or not? Right now, I'm Cam Newton. I'm already having a discussion with the owner. I'm walking to his office and I'm saying, hey, well, I'm gone next year. So now let's start that process now. My house is up for sale. Okay, I'm looking at, you know, the other possibilities. That was bad for Mr. Tapper. He shouldn't have done that.
Go ahead, Jenna.
It could be good for both sides. maybe in some way Cam Newton has worn out his welcome there. Maybe they were tired of the inconsistencies, which we talked about. Maybe they are in the market for a new quarterback. And maybe this is the best thing for Cam Newton. Maybe Cam Newton can start his career fresh in L.A., where the Chargers might be looking for someone new. Maybe Cam Newton needs a change of scenery. Maybe he and Ron Rivera have gone as far as they're going to go together. And I think we keep looking at this from the Panthers' perspective, and maybe it isn't Kyle Allen, but something wasn't working
the
last 2 years.
What's the alternative for them?
There's a lot of teams where you can say, what is your alternative right now?
But I think those teams don't have a 30-year-old former MVP quarterback. That, like, the Panthers are putting themselves to make the hardest decision in sports, finding your next quarterback prematurely.
But you're assuming he's going to be 100% healthy, that he's going to get back to maybe not MVP camp, but he's going to get back to being 100% healthy.
I'm not assuming that. What I am saying is that you in the NFL, there are a handful of franchises that know they have their quarterback position settled. The Texans, for all their issues, they know they do. The Chiefs, they know they do. The Seahawks, we know the list of teams who know they have it settled. Those teams are all in a better position than the teams who are searching. There are a few select teams that are in the middle. The Panthers are one of them. They might have it settled. They might not. They are not going to have a top five pick in order to get one of these kids coming out of college. And by the way, the college crop just got damaged by Tua's hip injury. To put yourself in the position, teams never do this, which is why I'm so shocked Carolina might be.
Yeah.
Teams hold on to quarterbacks too long, give them too many chances. Carolina is going to be the rare team that moves on too early, that has a guy who showed you he can win healthy, go 15-1 and be down one score in the Super Bowl before the Von Miller play, and you want to move on from him 4 years later.
And here's the key thing. What did Harbaugh just say publicly? Son, to Lamar Jackson, you have changed the game. We're seeing a shift in the NFL and then the philosophy of offense to now it's going to guys like this. It's no longer Cam Newton already kind of revolutionized the position, but now this shift in offense is going to quarterbacks like this. So where do you want to go find a Cam Newton, a Lamar Jackson, a Deshaun Watson? They're not just walking the street.
I'll say this and then we'll move on. The thing that makes him special is his mobility. Well, he's got a Liz Frank injury. He's coming off that. The other thing that made him special was he's got a strong arm and he's coming off shoulder surgery. So let's just see who the Cam is. They don't have the luxury of time. They're going to have to pay him.
But that's where I don't know where this narrative got started. That's where everyone is wrong. Had they had the right messaging, to your point, he is under contract next year for $20 million, which is a bargain. If he were a pending free agent, Jenna, I might understand the point better, because it's like, do we want to invest $125 million in Cam? That's more of a question because of the injuries. You've got him 1 year, just like it didn't work out for him, but the Bucs had with Jameis Winston this year. Mm-hmm. Last year of his contract, do it or don't, but we got places to go,
right,
and Jameis couldn't do it. I don't know why the Panthers are in a rush to make the decision a year early. It's because for 3 weeks, Kyle Allen looked good, and for the next six, he looked like Kyle Allen, and for the next six from now here on out, he's going to look a lot more like Kyle Allen.
And you made your decision when you said that. Now Cam Newton said, I'm gone.
Here with a couple of former Pro Bowlers, Brandon Marshall, another Brandon Flowers joining us now.
My man, Nick.
Effort
yes,
to
sir.
Confuse
Big.
Me and Nick.
Big. Yes, sir.
KC connection.
Absolutely. Lots of good battles between these two years.
Vision rivals for a little bit.
Right.
All right, guys. Let's talk about Antonio Brown. Earlier this season, AB was signed by the Patriots after being released by the Raiders after demanding to be traded from the Steelers. His time with the Patriots didn't last long, 11 days and one game before being released. And when that happened, he fired off a tweet, a not-so-flattering message to owner Robert Kraft. But yesterday on Instagram, he then apologized. He posted a picture of himself hugging Tom Brady with the caption, Mr. Kraft, I apologize sincerely to you and your organization. All I wanted to be was an asset to the organization. Sorry for the bad media and the drama. Thank you sincerely, AB. All right, Nick, you think a contender should sign Antonio Brown?
Oh, I think there are some playoff teams that could use him. And I think Philly could use him. I think the teams that are right now as presently constituted, good enough to get in the playoffs, but not good enough to go on a run, those are the teams that, to me, the Antonio Brown window, it makes sense. If you're a bad team, why do it? You just add, you take reps away either from a young player or add a potential distraction. And if you're a team that already believes you can win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't do it because this is bringing a very volatile human being into your locker room. Yeah. But so Philly, it makes sense to me. I don't think the Colts would, but especially with T.Y. Hilton dealing with an injury and with the Colts, I think having the ability to win that division, adding Antonio Brown would be great for that offense. Buffalo, with the way Josh Allen's actually played well the last month, they've got no real talent on the outside, no high-level talent. All those teams, it makes sense to me. But of course, the team, of course, it makes the most sense for is New England.
Yeah,
and it's the reason why Brady and Belichick wanted to keep him.
Yes.
Because even after he went nuclear, even after he had the really ugly allegations against him, they wanted to keep him because they know they can win the Super Bowl. They also know more than any other team they can deal with it. If he becomes a distraction, we can just move on and it won't linger. And they know that given his skill set, he matches up with what Brady is now, which is more of a technician than a gunslinger, better than almost any receiver in football. Now, I don't think it'll happen. I think Antonio Brown's next football game will be next season, not this season.
And it might not even be next season, because who knows what penalty will come down upon Antonio Brown from the commissioner.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I think that's where the conversation starts, is what's his status?
Well, you don't know. A team doesn't know before they sign.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to be on the commissioner's exempt list? Is he going to be suspended? We don't know right now. He's just in this gray. He had a meeting last week, I believe, 8 hours in Florida with the league office. But so you start there with the conversation, and then you go to stability. He doesn't seem stable, all right? You know, forget the NFL, and then you apologize right away. I'm done with the NFL, you know, forget this. Business is booming, right? Like, look at this. Look at my bank account. And then it's, please, I'm sorry, Mr. Kraft. Like, who are you? Where are you at right now? Okay, so that's the other thing. And then another thing, too, is he's all talk. Like, yes, that is a great apology. But when you go, I've been a guy, right, that had my own struggles. And the reason why I was able to turn around the second part of my career was because I was able to show teams that, like, look, I'm a better person. Here's where I'm at today. Here's how I'm going to be an asset in your locker room and for your organization and also in the community. Right now, all I'm seeing is tweets. Show me the work. Show me a tweet when you're leaving a counseling session. Show me a tweet where you're sitting down with some of the leaders and the Ray Lewis's of the world and the Brooks of the world and
learning
saying, help me.
Right.
How do I get back on track? He's not doing that. And until then, he's all talk and I'm not going to touch him.
It's two teams in the same division that Antonio Brown can have a Lombardi trophy come to their franchise. I say the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. This is why I say the Seahawks. When he was in Pittsburgh with Big Ben, he wasn't a, you know, 1-2-3-step guy and getting the ball out like Michael Thomas and Drew Brees. He improvised. Big Ben, he'll create time in the pocket and he'll hit him downfield. That's what Russell Wilson does. He gets out of the pocket and he looks for that home run ball. Antonio Brown fits that great. In San Francisco.
Real quick on Seattle, should be remembered. They were a team when Oakland cut him that was interested in him before the Patriots swooped
him
down.
Perfect for him.
But go ahead with San Francisco.
And then with San Francisco, you have Jimmy G. He learned up under Brady. He's a system guy. You have Emmanuel Sanders that came over. I think he's a great number two receiver. If you bring Antonio Brown over there, these guys play together in Pittsburgh. These guys would be great. They have a great run game. They have a great defense. I think Antonio Brown would make this offense and this team dynamite.
Brandon, if we're just talking football, let's take off the field out of it.
Yeah.
100%, you are right. The best situation for him is Seattle. No one talks about that. I never thought it would work really in New England for him. Why? Because it's system. Antonio Brown, these amazing numbers he's put up over the years, it's been off schedule. Look how Big Ben plays the game. It's all improvising. It's break this tackle. This guy missed the sack. I'm going down the field. I have an end cut. Now this guy is going to the corner and I find him.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Big Ben is. Antonio Brown, that's what he is. It's never been what you said. 1-2-3, boom.
Yeah.
What
Seattle's the perfect perfect situation.
So it's very, not that you didn't have skills as a technician, Brandon, as a receiver, but you walk into a room, it's very obvious one of the reasons you were so difficult to guard. So you're 6'5", you're a giant guy, and you're going to have such a physical advantage to go along with the different things you learned along the way to becoming a professional receiver. AB is your size, thereabouts. What makes him, as a guy who's guarded him, what makes him so special? Just X's and O's part of it on the football side of things. Why has he been able to be so effective at every stop along the way or at every year of his career prior to this season?
To me, he's a great route runner. He's smart, and improvising is his thing. He knows if I get in trouble, if I'm not getting the ball on a slant route, run to that corner and outrun this defender to this angle where this cornerback can't create this angle to separate and get the ball out of the hands. And Big Ben, they worked together for so long. Big Ben knew where to put the ball at, and they just worked well together. So when you seen Big Ben go out and you had guys like Michael Vick come in that just wanted to come in and five-step drop and get it to him, you know his play kind of dropped off a little bit. He needs a quarterback that fit him, and that's why I say Russell Wilson would be the best one.
It's great to have this conversation, but it's like having the conversation of what teams would Colin Kaepernick be a great fit for and what makes him so great, because we know he's a good player. We know Antonio Brown's a great player. He was a great player in Pittsburgh, might have been a great player in Oakland had he lasted long enough, might have been a great player in the Patriots organization had he lasted longer than one game, but he didn't last long enough in Oakland, and he didn't last long enough in the Patriots organization, and that was an organization with structure. He's going to be successful where he goes with the X's and O's. They have structure. They have a very structured head coach. They have a structured system, and he couldn't make it work.
Okay, but so it should be noted, though, and again, I'm not an AB apologist, and I don't particularly like the guy. But it should be noted what happened in New England. What happened in New England was he got accused of some horrifying things that predated any of his time in New England, and the owner said, we can't have this associated with our team. It was not because he couldn't operate within the structure of the team. It was not because he couldn't operate.
It was not because he sent out a tweet after they told him to cut all that business out. He couldn't control himself, and it wasn't because he made a comment about Robert Kraft.
He couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Well, hold on.
Keep your mouth shut. Stay off social media.
Okay, well, the comment about Robert Kraft was after he was cut.
He was still texting. Here's the situation.
He was texting the woman, which is unforgivable. I'm not arguing that.
That's part of it. That was part of control.
Okay, but the point that I am making is the structure of the Patriots organization is dictated by Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick wanted to keep him. Tom Brady is his number one lieutenant. Yeah. Tom Brady wanted to keep him. It was the owner who, I would argue, made the right call for the organization and its image, and argue just the right thing for as far as what's right in society. You're accused of this. Leave here and sort that out. And so I don't know if AB has it in him to do the things you did. Whether people know your story or not, we don't have to get into it right now. But you did a lot of things to reinvent yourself and to get yourself healthy, if you will.
Do the right things. What he's saying he's going to be.
I don't know that AB has that in him. I don't know if he needs to have it in him to help a team for 6 weeks. That's the point. I'd feel very differently about should any team sign him to a long-term contract extension as opposed to could Seattle line him up opposite Tyler Lockett and help them over the next 2 months.
The only thing that makes sense to me is the New England Patriots. I don't like the X's and O's because of Brandon's point. No one's talking about that. Antonio Brown is an amazing wide receiver because he improvises. Going into a system, you say you got to get the 20 yards and you got to plant your foot and you got to come out of your break. That's not the receiver that he is, right? That's not what made him great. Now, can he do it? Probably. But Tom Brady, last year, couple games, like the structure that they have there, that's the only situation that makes sense. Maybe Seattle, because of X's and O's, and then also the culture there, right? And Russell Wilson. But, like, to your point, like, what's his status, right?
Nobody even knows.
And
he's able to play the last 6 weeks of this season anyway. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.